Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki, Bree, and Jacob. How are you three doing?
I am aghast because I just looked up that news. Holy shit. No.
I guess we're not fucking around this week. We're just getting right into the news, aren't we?
Hold on. Guys and ladies, you know, it's, you know, September 12th, which means it's National Video Game Day. We got to talk about what we're playing.
All right.
Review games.
I got an achievement in Gems of Wars earlier.
Ooh.
It's just, you know, Gems of War. Yay. I haven't had time to play video games all day. That's terrible.
Terrible, as Charles Barkley would say.
Terrible.
Terrible. So obviously Disney Dreamlight Valley for me. However, I'm still playing Raging Loop. Holy crap, that game's wild and I friggin' love it. Just like, oh man, I hope Kemco has more games like this, because I'm like I only knew them as, like, you know, they make like 2D RPG, like, you know, like old school RPG games. And then it's just like, oh, hey, Kemco has this visual novel. And I'm like, oh, Bree and Aki didn't request it. I'm getting it. And it was just like, yeah, holy crap, this is awesome. I'm hoping that there's more.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, there's not. Ha.
Yeah, I was about to say, sadly, there's not.
Dang it. Bobby,
Kemco, you're so lucky you saw that before me, because oh my god, I would have grabbed that up immediately.
You already covered it though.
So I didn't have it on Xbox.
Yeah, what is everyone playing before we get into the news besides Disney Dreamlight?
Well, played the new Rugrats game.
Ooh, how's that?
It was retro hard. I struggled with some of the levels, for sure. Some of the levels were easier than others. It was a good nostalgia trip, but yeah, it was neo retro. So, and it's actually cool, you can switch between the like 8-bit version and the HD version, like, at will.
That's really
cool. Which was really cool. Yeah, and they released it, and they actually released the 8-bit version on the NES cartridge.
That is so cool.
Oh no.
That's through limited run, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what's through limited run? I missed that.
Rugrats cartridge.
Oh, yeah. I saw that because I just saw that the achievements got uploaded to True Achievements today. But yeah, sorry, I wasn't paying attention because I went to go search for other Kemco visual novels, and somebody else had asked this on Reddit, and I was like, oh good, I'll get a list. The post is from 4 years ago, and the person's like, hey, are there any other Kemco visual novels? I really enjoyed this. And they could only find four, and they're like, these are relatively recent releases from 2013. And I'm like, no, they're not gonna be on Xbox.
I know Kemco has a few more visual novels, but they're all Japanese only that I'm aware of.
Well, I think Raging Loop was originally released on PC like a long time ago, like 2017 or something. So there's still hope for.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna like punch these names through like on the Xbox website and see if anything comes up, but I'm not holding my breath. Also, because, you know, I don't have huge lung capacity, but, you know. All right, whatever. That was funny.
Sure.
Shut up, Aki.
I was agreeing with you, motherfucker.
No, you weren't. Yeah.
No, I wasn't. See, but
yeah, I know you weren't.
Hey, Jacob.
I'm going to need you to fuck off, sir.
Who said that? Is it? That's not me, is it?
No, it's my friend Matt from our wrestling Discord.
Okay, I was going to say, I mean, like, it vaguely sounds like me, but, like...
No, he's also the one who says...
Why aren't you fucking?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So news. Should we dive into the news?
Probably.
Yeah.
God damn it.
What are you goddamn-iting?
There's a friggin' gnat over here. Got... Oh, my God. No, I didn't get it. What the fuck? Anyway...
Is it a gnat or a fruit fly? Because we have those little fuckers in our house, too.
I think it's just a simple gnat, but it, like, I don't have any fruit up, like, the fruitiest thing up here in my office is me. Yeah, fuck you, I was going to make that joke.
Oh, man.
You're a low-hanging fruit, what can we say?
That's right, it is low-hanging.
Your IQ, that is.
That
more like a magnum dong.
Both inches. Gonna thrill you away. So yeah, other things that are gonna thrill people are the PS5 Pro, which got announced this week. It is a 2 terabyte system. It is 45% more powerful. It is faster. It has advanced ray tracing. It does not have a disk drive, but you could buy one to add on to it. And it costs $700.
Yep, they've lost the plot.
Like, what the fuck? 700?
Yeah. That's a lot.
I mean, there was no chance in hell I was ever going to get one because my wife would kill me. But, like, yeah, $700. Like, holy crap. You might as well just get a PC at that point.
Yeah, like, what is this? A 3DO that we're paying $700 for?
I mean,
I'm glad someone laughed at that.
Both the PS5 and the 3DO, you can play Plumbers Don't Wear Ties on both consoles. So, I mean, they got something in common.
Yep.
Yeah, the disc drive has been flying off shelves because it's available now, and scalpers are buying them up and flipping them for like 3 times the price on eBay because people are stupid and they buy it.
Yep.
Like, people are going to buy this system, and it's going to sell like crazy, and it's going to be on eBay for $2,000. People are going to pay for it. For a fucking PS5 that's a little prettier. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, but we're finally going to get 60 frames. I'm like, no, we're not. Well, why won't we? It's more powerful. Because devs care about resolution and not frames. When devs care about frames, you'll get frames. They care about pushing 4K resolution and the prettiest graphics possible at the detriment of frames. And that's why some games have the option to do a performance that focuses on frames, but lots don't. And you just got to deal with what you're given. And I really don't think the Pro is going to make much of a difference. I think we're still going to see issues with just low frames and high resolution. I don't know. I don't think it's going to change anything.
I don't think it's going to matter if it was going to change anything. It costs too goddamn much money. you can get that, or you can buy a standard off-the-shelf fucking computer. Computer's probably going to work better. I'd choose that route. It can do more.
Aki can play porn games on a computer. Can you do that on a PS5?
Damn straight.
No, sir.
Yeah, but the or PC man. Doesn't have Astrobot.
Yet.
Maybe. It
probably won't ever go to PC because it relies too much on the controller stuff, right?
It does. There's a lot of controller stuff in the game. I mean, they could probably map it to analog sticks, but...
Well, on Steam, you can connect a PlayStation controller.
Yeah, but if you don't have a PlayStation controller, you're going to lose out on all that stuff.
Well, I mean, they can put it on Steam and people can just... buy a controller that's still a hell of a lot more, a lot cheaper than buying a $700 fucking console.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. It's not like PCs are super cheap these days anyway.
Mm-hmm. No.
So, like, what you're getting for $700 is still probably better than you'll get out of a PC for $700. Maybe. But it's still $700.
Yeah. it's a lot of money, an unnecessary amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, but Sony wants much more money. Candy you could get.
Well, of course they
so much.
Of course they want more money. They're a company. That's what they do.
Yeah, but I was going to segue into more news. And then Jacob's like, penny candy.
They want more money.
And they want more money so bad, they're bumping up the controller prices by $5 worldwide. Because they aren't expensive enough either.
This is
remember
why
when
I don't...
shit used to go down in price through a console generation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of curious on this one.
What the fuck?
Hmm.
PS Plus game catalog was announced for September 17th, and there are a chunk of games coming to the lineup. Not the best lineup they've had in recent months, but it's okay enough. They have the day one debut of The Plucky Squire, which is cool. And then they have Under the Waves, Night in the Woods, Chernobylite, Wild Card Football, Space Engineers, Road 96, Ben 10, and the return of Far Cry 5.
Okay, that's a bunch of good games.
Decent games, yeah.
It's decent, but they've had better months recently. Like, they've had some really good months recently, so this is...
Well, not everything can knock it out of the park, sadly.
But
there's only so
classics.
Much park you can knock things out of.
Oh, their classics are knocking it out of the park this month. The premium tier PSVR 2 free game is Pistol Whip.
Nice. Which,
cool, free VR. And then the three retro games, Secret Agent Clank from the PSP, which makes sense. It's Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, okay.
Sky Gunner from the PS2. An Atlas... dogfighting game.
Cool.
Who heard of Sky Gunner?
I haven't.
Exactly. And then Mr. Mosquito for the PS2.
Oh, wow.
Like, what the hell? What were they smoking when they picked these games?
I still don't know what they were smoking when that Mr. Mosquito was even fucking made. So, you know...
Hey, PS2 had some weird shit back in the day. Yeah. Mosquito, Katamari, Guitar Man, Tulip. That's some good stuff. But yeah, I'm going to buy Sky Gunner and Mr. Mosquito. Those are amazing that they're coming. Let's move on to the bad news of the week. Microsoft laid off another 650 employees.
Yeah.
You know... They wouldn't be hurting for money if they used those employees to actually make games.
Well, apparently it's a lot of corporate people that were let go.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, there corporate were no studio closures, no game cancellations. No, not go fuck themselves. Their people lost jobs.
Yeah.
Not go fuck themselves. That's horrible to say.
I don't feel bad for corpos ever.
That doesn't mean that they're all rich suits. These are people who just work in corporate offices.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
you know,
theoretically, I work in a corporate office. Like, even though I'm way too fat and poor to afford my company's product.
Yeah. We have friends who work with Microsoft that thankfully were not affected. So that is good. But yeah, 650 people lost their jobs. And it's getting frustrating to see all these layoffs, but that's not the only one. Annapurna Interactive, their entire gaming division of 25 people, resigned. Apparently, the team was in negotiations to spin off the division into its own company. Talks broke down, and the staff, just as a group, were like, peace, we're done.
Yeah, now they can work on trying to make that happen. Hopefully they succeed.
Annapurna Interactive, not looking good for them.
Hope they have a good resolution.
Who did we just lose recently?
I have no idea.
Publisher that just went under recently. They got rid of everyone. Oh, I'm trying to think who it was. I know Versus Evil was a little... Oh, Humble. That's who it was.
Oh,
thank you,
that's
Thimber.
Right. Yeah, Humble.
Humble lost everyone. Versus Evil shut down. Like, we're losing a lot of good publishers. It sucks to see.
And in favor of that, all we keep getting is a bunch of trash games made by companies that don't understand that we don't want live service bullshit anymore, or MOBAs. We're we have 50 billion of them, but they need to make more.
Hey, if we didn't want MOBAs, Deadlock wouldn't be blowing up. So it just, we want good MOBAs and innovative MOBAs and things that do stuff well instead of just trying to copy games from 8 years ago like Concord did.
Yeah.
Ember Magnolia Bloom in the Mist 1.0 release will be January 22nd on PC, and it will also launch on Switch, PS4, PS5, and Series X and S.
I can't wait to get back to that game.
Yeah, that one looks really good. Some more RPG love coming to Xbox October 29th with Neptunia Game Maker R Evolution hitting Series X and S.
Ooh.
That sounds cool.
So more Neptunia on the way. That is good to hear. Hopefully that means the first game did well. I know this was announced before the first one came out, but I'm hoping these pay off for Idea Factory and they keep doing them.
Me too, because maybe if they are doing good, they'll remake the old games and bring those over too.
Maybe. Bossa Studio announced that it is shutting down the online servers for Surgeon Simulator 2 on Tuesday. Good heads up.
But well, they are going to be making an offline patch.
Yeah, they are making an offline patch, but still, like, can we gotten like a month heads up?
Yeah.
Is Surgeon Simulator the funny one where you okay.
Yes. You smack your bob around and you try and perform surgery, yes, with weird physics.
All right, I thought that's what that was, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Two more games getting offline modes are The Crew and The Crew Motor, or The Crew 2 and The Crew Motor Fest. They're both on sale with The Crew 2 down to $1.
Mm-hmm.
On, like, all platforms.
Hopefully they make it to where all the online achievements can be obtained in offline mode. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to do that for The Crew 2 and The Crew Motor Fest.
Yeah, I just said that.
I'm wondering
if... Well, I didn't know if Aki heard.
Yeah, I did. I'm wondering if they're doing this in response to the UK. The Crew?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, wait, what do you mean in response to the UK?
They have some sort of government paperwork that's up, kind of like a petition, that if I don't remember if they needed 100,000 or 1 million or whatever people to sign it, then they would try to enact legislature to make it required that any online game had an offline mode, so they couldn't just scrap something that people paid for.
Like The Crew 1.
That's. I mean, that's still like, that's kind of wild.
I don't know if it would be every game, but a game that, like, you can play offline that should have an offline mode, like The Crew, like an MMO, I don't expect that to stay alive forever. The Crew, there's no reason that couldn't get an offline mode.
Right. Okay. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, that was my thought on it. It was just like every single MMO is going to be screwed. I mean, that's actually one of the things that I do appreciate about, like, Disney Dreamlight Valley versus, like, World of Warcraft is that they've already said, yeah, if we ever take this game offline, you're still able to play, you're still able to earn everything, whatever. World of Warcraft goes down, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what all it covers, because I haven't actually read it. But, yeah, it was for... If Concord
goes down...
it hasn't gotten enough signatures yet, so Concord's gone. It's just doomed.
Damn it.
The shame, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm hoping that actually succeeds. And
Ember says, adding context to Aki's message, the UK government has responded to a petition asking for government intervention to force the industry to keep video games, quote, in a reasonably working state when support ends, rather than allowing them to become unplayable when servers are shut down.
Yeah.
So we'll see what goes on, but it's good to see that Ubisoft is making offline modes for these games.
Yeah, it's awesome. I hope that thing actually works and the UK government actually makes that a thing. Because if it does, it'll hopefully go around the world and we'll just have the ability to play most of our games offline. It'll be great.
Yeah, we'll see. Less awesome, the details for Game Pass Standard are out. There's a lot of games not on the service. There's like 100 games that are gone compared to Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
And it very much feels like it only exists to push more people to Ultimate.
It does.
I don't see the point of a mid-tier. I think it's going to cause confusion. I don't think it's going to benefit in any way because people are getting less games for the same price. And it's confusing. At least all three have online now.
Yeah.
That's good. But
it was weird that they didn't in the first place, to be honest.
It should be core and ultimate, and that's it. Pick one or the other.
Yeah.
I think that would be much better. But I guess options. Last bit of news I have is some
detestables
news. In Ball Squad news, Jersey Jack Pinball announced and released Avatar, the Battle for Pandora Pinball. The cool part, Stemmage did the music.
Nice.
Our own Grant Henry went from reviewing pinball games to doing music for a pinball game.
That is awesome.
How fucking cool is that for Grant?
That is
great. That's wild.
I am so pumped for him. I kind of had an inkling this news was coming because he's been like dropping hints to like, oh man, you're going to freak when this news comes out. You're going to freak. He would just like drop subtle hints. And then I saw the news today. I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. He's like, it was so hard to keep that a secret. Yeah, I'm thrilled. Fucking Grant getting in games, getting it on a pinball table, on a full-sized Avatar pinball game.
That is awesome.
Not just like some random like custom homemade thing. This is fucking Avatar.
Yeah.
That's insane. Table looks great too. But yeah. That is the news I have.
I only saw the outside of it. I haven't like seen the actual table itself though.
There's like an 18-minute walkthrough of the table showing all the parts, all the plays that you could do, all the combos, the trick shots, the design of the table, like a 20-minute long video. Grant's in it. He's the first face that popped up in the trailer. Like, yay, I know him.
Oh yeah, yeah,
the table looks great.
I see that online.
Yeah, but that's the news I have. Aki, you got anything?
Oh God, no.
Bree?
You took everything I had.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Mwahahaha. Jacob, what you got?
You didn't take everything I got, because of course not. So, 1 year later, Unity has finally canceled their controversial runtimes fee idea, which was going to charge devs to pay the software maker every single time that their game was installed.
Yeah.
Like, one of the worst friggin' ideas in subscription plans of all time. Finally, they got rid of it.
Good.
That's good news.
Took them long enough.
Minecraft has announced that they're ditching their single summer update for more regular releases throughout the year, and also they're going to get rid of mob votes.
What is mob votes?
So mobs are like the different like animals or creatures that spawn in the world and stuff, and like so everybody would be able to like log into Minecraft and vote for what they wanted the next mob to be, like, you know, a spider or a giraffe or like a alpaca or something like that.
You're an alpaca.
It's true. I wish burn. I was. That's not a burn. Those things are fluffy and adorable.
Whatever, and alpaca.
Anyway. Oxenfree is getting completely removed from itch.io next month. And
that's bullshit.
It's straight up getting removed from your digital library, period, dot. And so the devs are telling you, you need to download it before October 1st.
I probably own that over there too.
That's some bullshit.
I don't.
What game is it again?
Oxenfree.
It was given away for free on Xbox like a while back. If I remember correctly.
It was a Games with Gold game, yeah.
Yeah, and it's still on Steam. So it's like, it's kind of curious as to why it's being removed from itch, but yeah. And the last bit of news that I have is that Borderlands, the movie, has finally ended its time in the movie theaters.
Yep.
As of today, it made $31 million total.
It doesn't even pay for the advertising.
At the worldwide box office.
Yeah.
It made $15.4 million in the U.S., $15.4 internationally. Nice and even on a production budget of $115 million. And supposedly marketing and distribution was $30 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Yup.
Oof.
And $5 of that was me.
Mm-hmm. You schmuck.
Eh, it was an IMAX movie. I didn't regret it. And plus I had the whole theater to myself.
I got to fart all I wanted. It was fun.
I did. I did fart a couple of times. Thank you.
Gotta keep the seat warm.
I just like, Joe just shook his head like, oh, God.
I know. I know you farted. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, no.
I know you did.
It's just assumed.
I'm guessing you farted at least six times already tonight.
No. I took care of business before I hopped on for the podcast.
That doesn't ever stop you from farting.
I mean, I'm not gassy right now, though.
You will be. Give it time.
Thimber's saying that that's not gaming news. Yo, that is incorrect. So, yeah, we actually lost two people who had done voice acting in video games this week. Actor James Earl Jones passed away. He's better known for being Darth Vader and Mufasa. However, he did voice acting for Command and Conquer Tiberian Sun and some point and click adventure game from like 94. Plus his voice was used in Kingdom Hearts 2 and shit, I'm forgetting the other one. Well, anyway, and the other one, I don't remember their name, but it was the original voice actor for Splinter.
Oh yeah.
Oh, from Ninja Turtles. Yeah, I saw that one. I forget his name. I'm terrible with names.
Yeah, hold on. I'm scrolling as fast as I can.
Scrolling.
Oh man, I forgot that scrolling news too. Yeah, so while I'm scrolling, Flappy Bird is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I don't know. I don't know. It was enjoyable for all of what it was. But yeah, apparently it's coming back. Some people bought the rights to it and they're now the owners of it. So, the other person that passed away this week was Peter Renaday. He provided voice work for Gears of War 3. He was Adam Phoenix? Was that his name? Marcus's dad?
I think so.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, Assassin's Creed, Dragon Age Origins, and like a ton of other games too.
Cool.
That's all I got.
That's it?
Yep.
That I mean we're diving into reviews, or is there anything else anyone wants to chat about?
Diving in butt first.
That is gross.
Only because I didn't wipe.
Bree, you ready to start?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be, yep.
Especially after that comment, huh?
Yeah.
You should just, like, take a break, come back after we've all decompressed after hearing that line from Jacob.
I love you all.
Apparently still has something.
Yeah, I'm wait. Singularity has been relisted on PC.
Interesting.
Yes.
Anything special about it?
No, it just came back. Huh. People are speculating it might have some effect on Thimber. Why would it be on the Xbox store? It's a 360 game and it's not backward compatible.
Maybe some
everything
people think
360
that
has been delisted.
Maybe it's going to get a remaster.
Maybe it'll get a remaster, or maybe the gods have listened and Microsoft's going to do another backward compatibility wave.
That would be nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Ooh, God.
I've been pushing for it because
tingle.
Fucking PlayStation's putting out new PS2 releases with trophy support. I think Xbox needs to start doing something on their end.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But
all right, we get into reviews.
Yeah, we should.
All right. First game to talk about tonight, Ace Attorney Investigations Collection, developed and published by Capcom, released September 6th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Experience both Ace Attorney Investigations game in one gorgeous collection. Step into the shoes of Miles Edgeworth, the prosecutor of prosecutors from the Ace Attorney mainline games. Leave the courtroom behind as you walk with Edgeworth around the crime scene, gathering evidence and clues, talking with persons of interest. Use your wit, what you discover, to solve tough, intriguing cases through logic and deduction. Bree, tell us about your time with Ace Attorney Investigations Collection.
So, first of all, I should say that other than watching a Little Phoenix Wright that someone else was playing a really long time ago and some memes, I've never really experienced any of the Ace Attorney series until now. It had been on my list for a while, but the games just weren't on platforms I owned when I was thinking about it. So, I finally get to play something, and of course, what I play is not the normal series. Yay! My understanding is all the Phoenix Wright games happen between the courtroom and the investigations, whereas Miles seems to never be in the courtroom for any of his adventures, as he's gotten caught up in some bigger mystery outside of court. This game really focuses on the investigations part, with some setup scenario and some resolution scenes. Let's see. I was looking at the timeline of the games. Miles Edgeworth, I can't word today. Edgeworth Investigations takes place 1 month after the last Phoenix Wright game and 7 years before the Apollo Justice game. So this two-game collection features games originally released on Nintendo DS in 2009 and 2011. They were both later released on Android and iOS. But the sequel, Prosecutor's Gambit, was a Japanese exclusive. So this is the first time we're getting both games on modern platforms, and that we're getting them outside of Japan for the second game. So Very cool. Yeah. So the collection comes with a gallery of art, from character models to promotional art. And as you go through the stories, you get to unlock more art for your gallery. Because, you know, there's spoilers. So as you're playing, you're going to unlock different art. Speaking of the art, you can choose between pixel art and the new HD style, which is what I went with. There's also a music collection, so you can listen to your favorite music from the soundtrack whenever you want. You also have multiple options for languages, both reading and in voice. And there isn't a lot of voice to be had, but it's nice that those options are there. For the other options, they have some accessibility ones I know people will appreciate, like the ability to turn screen shake and flashing off.
That's good.
Yeah. Each game offers 5 episodes that all connect to a bigger story for that game. In the first game, episode 1 has our genius prosecutor Edgeworth coming back from a month-long sabbatical to find a dead body in his office.
Bum, bum,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Dick Gumshoe, our local detective friend, was supposed to be watching our office. He's also going to be doing the investigating of this murder with us. The game is a visual novel style adventure. First, we have to investigate the area for clues and leads, and then we can use the evidence in our organizer to recall the things that we found. We can make logic deductions to further the case. If we find a contradiction in the evidence, we have another kind of deduction we can make, which we can point to and scream "Eureka!" So there's like your memes is the screaming things, like "Objection!" Right? And that does get screamed in here, too. So we soon meet another prosecutor named Jacques Portsman, and he claims that the dead detective was his crime-solving partner, Jim, but we know him as Buddy, and he insists that our detective is the murderer. We've cleared our name as Miles Edgeworth, but now he's going to blame our detective.
Yay!
So then we get this confrontation scene, and we get to listen to Mr. Portman's logic, and then we can offer a rebuttal. And this is where the objection comes in, and we can prove the innocence of our detective Gumshoe, but then the security guard Maggie gets dragged into all of our case as a prime suspect, and before we know it, we've gotten kicked out of our own office, and something's not right here, and we got to figure out before it's a real problem. So...
You know what else is a real problem? Jordan just subbed to us for the 6th month.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, 6 months at tier one, and they've been subscribed for 9 months. So there you go. Why does it say six? Oh, six in advance? Jordan, sweet. Look at you.
Taking advantage of that September savings.
Indeed. Jordan, thank you so much for the subs. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the emotes. Enjoy the kitty cats. Enjoy my face. Everyone loves my face. Enjoy the blank emote.
I love the blank emote. It's my favorite.
It is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Is the game good?
Yeah, let's continue talking about it. So episode two begins 9,000 feet up in the air, 2 days before the murder in Miles' office. Seems like death is following him around. We learn that Mr. Edgeworth doesn't like earthquakes and isn't fond of elevators either. And just before he's accused of murdering someone on the flight, of course. And but Edgeworth won't rest until he's inspected every suspicious looking nook and cranny. And just as we're finishing up with that episode, we get a call, and episode three has us investigate a kidnapping for an old associate, and Miles is the one to do the ransom money transfer, putting him right in the middle of the action and the investigation. Episode four takes place in the courthouse, which is the only time we're in the courthouse, but only as an investigation, because this takes place as a reminiscence of 7 years in the past before Miles Edgeworth is the man we know today. But this case relates to the present and the bigger story, so it makes sense. And finally, episode five has us tie together all the pieces of the Great Thief and smuggling ring in an epic conclusion. And that's just the first game in the collection. The second game picks up a week later with an assassination attempt. And Miles Edgeworth's life is very busy. No wonder he tried to take a month off at the beginning of game one, right? Goodness. So many murders. So many conspiracies. The average case has several sections to it. So sometimes it comes out in slightly different order. There's an incident and an investigation segment, and then there are testimonies or confrontations and rebuttals. And it's all based on logic. You get to look at clues, you get to ask further questions, you get to talk to the suspects, and you really get a reasonable amount of help kind of going around. During the testimonies, you can ask further questions for contradictions. I really can't word tonight. You present evidence to rule things out or change people's minds about what has happened to allow furthering the case or for getting further investigation scenes. And of course, there's no shortage of other famous prosecutors entering the scene. There is a story mode with less investigations and things, so you can just see it play out, but you'll miss out on the achievements and the fun in doing so. There are
if
also
you want a good story, that's a good way to handle it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are also bad endings you can get. If you have like an investigation bar, a logic bar, and if you make too many wrong deductions, it's game over.
Ooh.
Yeah. And of course, the series
Did
is all very...
Did that happen to you at all?
No. No.
Okay.
I read about it.
Oh, wait. Oh, you read that that can happen? Or...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I read that could happen.
Gotcha.
I was very thorough in my research because this is a game that originally came out years ago and is now in this new collection on modern consoles. So I got to read about some of the history as well and, you know, things about the game.
Very cool.
But yeah, it's, very anime style, very Japanese. The characters are over the top. When you wow someone with logic, they get hit with like a blast of wind in the face. You can see suspects sweating under interrogation, and one of the prosecutors like whips everything to get her point across, while another is this like caricature sports bro who flips his jacket on and off all the time, or throws it over his shoulder. And of course, you have all the screaming objections and take that and hold it, and Eureka flashes on the screen, and it's really fun. So yeah, you've got updated art, a collection of games that are time-tested and hold up today. The collection is going to take you a good while. There's a lot of content, I would guess, in the 20 to 40 hour range. The second game, like I said, was a Japanese exclusive, so it's likely the first time fans will have seen it here. And if you like the investigation portions of the Ace Attorney games, you're going to love this.
Very cool. It clocks in at $40. What are your thoughts on the collection?
I mean, all the things I just said, it's a great collection. I love that we are getting an exclusive to Japan now as part of this collection. I had a lot of fun with the investigations part. I definitely want to go pick up the Phoenix Wright collection now and see what the courtroom side of things looks like. Because I really enjoyed this angle, I guess. And so as an introduction to the series, it was probably a little unusual, not getting the courtroom drama. But I thought it was really an accessible way to get into the series as well. So, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. This sounds dope as hell.
It really is. I mean, if you're into visual novels at all, it's really fun. And it's more than a visual novel because you've got like an adventure component to it. It's got the investigations where you have to make the deductions and find the clues in the room and present them in different ways to, you know, change people's mind and get yourself out of these situations. Like being on the plane was like really fun. You had to do it in multiple segments, and then you think you've investigated one area, but then, you know, you get this other set of clues and it draws you back in. You've got to look again and find that last piece of evidence that's really going to take it over the edge. And all the cases are just like really compelling. So, yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts?
It's a buy it, like I said.
Cool. Next game, Ship Graveyard Simulator 2, developed by Games Incubator and Ultimate Games, published by Ultimate Games. Released September 6th on Series X and S and PS5 for $29.99. Dust off your torch and hammer. It's time to get back to work. You have a new job to do. You visit the new beach coast with the largest, busiest ship graveyard in the world. Dismantle huge ship parts and collect tons of precious steel. Roll up your sleeves. It's time to get back to business. Jacob and Bree, both of you played this. Jacob, start us off. What is Ship Graveyard Simulator 2?
So, Ship Graveyard Simulator 2 is a sequel to the first one. You don't need to have played the first one. Like, there's no real plot to this, so don't worry about it. But you live next to this like ship graveyard, and you can buy wrecks or decommissioned ships that you get to take apart, and like you get to strip it for wood or steel, like any random crap that you find in there, any of that kind of stuff. And then you go back to take it to the recycling center, you sort it out, which is either honestly, like, there's two ways to go about it. Like, there is like this mini game, which is honestly pretty damn fun. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just a nice, like, breakup for the monotony, and all you're just doing is just sorting.
Yeah, I like sorting.
Yeah, like, you know, 8 or 10 junk piles. Or you can have the dump just handle it for you and then take a 10% cut, but then you screw yourself over because you're also given these little mini missions where people around town are like, yo, hey, like, if you go inside that ship and you find a toilet, or if you find a TV in there, I'll give you X amount of dollars for it. So you have to be careful with that. And honestly, the little mini game thing's fun anyway.
It really was.
But the real joy and zen of this game is just taking things apart. You know, you have to take out like the bolts first, and then you have to like saw down stuff. Or you have to take a blowtorch to it so like entire walls will come apart. And you like the game just lets you work from sun up to sundown. There's no like hungry meter or something like, or like exhaustion. Like, there was a lumberjack simulator that went like, you would get exhausted after doing so much. This one, it doesn't have it. You just get to do it as much as you want.
Good.
yeah. And
it should like, be.
And there's a like, flashlight too, so you can like work at night. It's nice.
Honestly, I worked by the light of the moon. Like, mm-hmm. like it was nice. Like, and I would like go up on like the second floor of it because I like wouldn't have completely taken apart the ceiling. Or the roof, however you want to look at it.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, like, that's it was construction.
Nice. like, I mean, it was actually like really nice. And yeah, it's just very zen, very calm, very like kind of like Power Wash Simulator, how it, you know, it's just a very relaxing game.
Oh, if you're going to pull out Power Wash Sim, like, you got to back that up with how good it is.
Like, I'm dead serious.
You can't just throw around Power Wash Sim and
I'm talking about casual. Like, how, like,
oh, I know, but like Power Wash Sim is like amazingly good. Compared to Power Wash Sim,
this is not as good as Power Wash Simulator, but like I'm talking like in terms of like how calm and peaceful and, you know,
gotcha,
almost meditative. Yeah. I mean, well, I had already used Zen and I wanted to find a different word to use, but
as Bush says, everything's Zen, everything's Zen. I don't think so.
Yes.
But yeah, and like part of the other fun too is like as you're taking it apart, like I would just like leave like one random bolt in, and so like I'd have a roof that was like impossibly being held together by like a handful of bolts, and the physics on the truck are janky, and like I had one time where it was sunk halfway into a hill and I could still hop into it then drive it over. You know, and it was just, or like my favorite was just like letting the whole ship thing like just fall apart around me, because when you have to bust something up, anything else nearby that has to be busted up, or yeah, like anything else that's nearby will also fall, and so like you could just make the whole ship come crashing down around you. It's a lot of fun to fool around in and just do stuff.
There's no penalty for like fall damage or, you know, getting hit in the head with a piece of ship. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's just fun.
Injury says tranquility.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, good. Yeah. Although I don't know
serene.
That's good. But anyway, so I did have some problems with it. The game doesn't, it doesn't really walk you through like how the whole recycling thing works at first. And so like I was gathering up all the stuff for the missions and I didn't realize it was going to take that crap out. And so I ended up having to do the second mission all over again so I could get my contracts, which was pretty damn annoying. But at the same time, I was just like, you know, this is enjoyable doing this. So whatever, I just wish it was something else. And I did have the game crash on me twice when I was sawing stuff. But other than that, like, you know, it's a budget simulator title, but this is one of the really good ones.
Bree, what are your thoughts?
So I loaded up the first game to do a comparison, and I'd say the graphics got a decent upgrade. I feel like they simplified the selling and sorting process well. I felt like I could just focus on destroying ships more than the first game, and I really liked that. I like the new system of breaking things down. Instead of picking up little resource pieces, you pick up the actual stuff you're breaking down and toss that into the truck, which was really cool because you could like you could be standing all the way at the water's edge and just like make it to the truck somehow. That was very fun. You still have to spend some money and resources to upgrade your tools. And so you have to be mindful you don't sell all your resources because you'll need that to upgrade things. You still have like a blacksmith to upgrade your tools and you buy the different blueprints or whatever so that you're breaking down ships faster and stuff as you making your tools better makes, you know, breaking things down easier. And then I got to call in a big crane to pull out resources. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was. Oh, my God. The first time I saw that in action, I was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And there is a Zen to the game. Like, I that was the word I used, too. It's not about blowing shit up, but the feeling of methodically breaking something like a ship down is really satisfying. Although you can eventually get some explosives, too, and blow things up. So... That's awesome too.
Not about blowing shit up, but you can blow shit up.
Yeah. But yeah, right, I had a good time with it.
The game clocks in at $29.99. What are your thoughts?
I think that's a good price.
Absolutely. And one of the nice things is that there's two pieces of DLC for this game on PC. One is like a military ships and the other one's submarines. Yeah. And the Xbox version comes with one of those DLC packs. Yeah. I think warships. It's a submarine.
Yeah.
Okay, it is the warships. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, like that just makes me really hope that they offer the other DLC too. Because, yeah, I'd love to take apart whatever.
Cool. All right. Well, moving on, we're going to talk about Dice Assassin, developed and published by Aphil Games, released September 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99, Windows PC for $4.99. Dice Assassin is a challenging game in which you defeat enemies on the board according to the numbers on the dice. Choose your moves using cards, position yourself strategically to defeat enemies on the board squares, and create tactics using action cards. Bree, what is Dice Assassin?
So you're a little digital assassin on a 7x7 grid, like a chessboard, and there are enemies on it with different movement patterns. Kind of like chess pieces have different patterns that they can do, the enemies will have similar kind of patterns. You can only move forward or backward to attack, like left, right, or up and down. But some of your enemies can move diagonally. The extra twist there is that that each round there are two dice rolled that dictate how far you can move and how much damage you'll make if you're able to strike something. When you start the game, those numbers are always low. You earn coins as you go along from defeating enemies, and you can spend them in the store every couple of levels to get things like new weapon attack patterns, higher dice rolls, or special cards that do interesting things on the field, or you can refill your health. Cool thing about the store, too, is that you can buy more than one thing if you have the money for it. So there's four options every time you hit the store. It'll be randomized what you get, but at lower levels, you're going to get access to certain things first because they're going to be more helpful. Like, it felt really well designed, the types of things that show up earlier on. And I've played through the game a couple of times or done a couple of runs now, and it feels like it's well organized to give you success. You have yellow markers to show where you move on the board when you land, and red markers to show you where the enemies could land, which got really annoying around room 20 where the tiles changed the color to red. But 10 levels later, I was fine again when the grid turned purple, which was nice. I like purple. You can use cards at any time during your turn. You can use as many as you have if you want. Cards do things like refill your health, resurrect on next death, damage everything on the field with a bomb, you can dodge, you can skip the enemy turn, skip the level, and more.
You know what else you could do? You could sub what? To us like Mr. Coolness just did.
Awesome.
So thank you, Mr. Coolness, for your sub. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the emotes, enjoy the kitty cats, enjoy the blank, and enjoy the monkey power washing things.
Yeah. Yeah. You get better movement and attack or weapon cards as you go, as I mentioned. You start off with a basic slash that just goes left, right, up, down, as many spaces as you have based on your range die roll. Or you can get a backstep one space and do damage to a 2x3 grid as you go. I got another one that moves forward and damages a 3x3 square, and a dash that doesn't move but damages in all directions based on your range die. So those are your primary weapons. I didn't see if there were any more. Those are the only ones I found in all of my runs. As you get higher in level, the composition of fights gets a little more challenging, and there are some new enemy types that'll pop up. I would also note that I really enjoyed the music in this more than I would have thought for a small title.
Yeah.
What did you call it? Lo-fi beats for killing rats too?
Yeah, lo-fi beats to murder rats too.
There you go.
It was really good. Like, you were streaming it and I'm watching. I'm just like, this music is really good.
Yeah, well, the title screen music is a different track, and it's also good. So, yeah. The game already has a title update on Xbox, making this 2,000 gamer score. And I believe on Windows as well. So that's also incentive for some people who are looking for some easy gamer score. And I don't know. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the game. Once I got the hang of things, it was pretty easy, and I would say this is one of the best Aphil games I've played.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
Well, it clocks in at $5 on console, $5 on PC, separate purchases. What are your thoughts?
I would say it's a buy it. I really enjoy this game.
One version, both versions. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I enjoyed it on PC as much as I did on Xbox. It worked the same. I mean, the novelty of it probably wears off if you're doing it for anything other than the gamer score, but yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Cool. All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. We made it in time. You're going to leave on time. You're not going to be late for your own stream. We fucking did it.
The bathroom.
We fucking did it.
Right.
Sailing ships tonight.
I am sailing ships. That is the plan. And then I'm going to go to bed early if I can help it, because I have to be up early because I've been talking about this for like weeks now. But this is the weekend where I do the medieval feast and all the things I've been prepping for like 2-3 months now is finally going to happen. So I got to get up early and get to that tomorrow and do all the packing and the organizing and the stuff and the things.
Very cool. Take some pictures, post them on the Discord.
I will consider that if I remember.
You should drive up north and bring us leftovers.
Oh my gosh. So that is one of my favorite things about it is I get to take home a lot of leftovers being on the kitchen crew. Like I get first pick of stuff. So and I have it on good authority that there will be sausages left over, so I'm gonna take home some of those. Oh, sure.
Nice. So,
yeah, I mean,
Jacob
I help
is make hard those as a rock right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's any discussion of meat? Like meat is my favorite food. Like, oh,
okay.
I don't give a crap. Like chicken, pork, whatever. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, they're pork sausages with all kinds of good seasoning inside, and they have pine nuts in it as well.
Interesting.
Interesting, right? It's got a good texture base. It's got a good flavor. It's Roman sausages. So yeah. Oh,
Jacob loves meat.
Like handmade.
Big meat, man, slapping meat.
They were handmade and then smoked, man.
Like, you know, in like old cartoons where like, you know, like the characters will float along as like they smell like like whatever's cooking. That's how I am with meat. Like,
all right. Good to know.
All right. Do you have any final words, Bree?
If your pet blinks at you, blink back. It could be code.
I'll have to remember that for the future.
Yeah.
A little now.
Trying to help stuff.
All right. You guys have a great night.
All right. Take care, Bree.
Bye-bye.
Next game to talk about is Wild Bastards, which I actually couldn't type in our Twitch title.
Oh, yeah. That makes
sense. It wouldn't let me.
Huh. So it's... It's either Wild Beards or Wild Bards.
Yeah, it's Wild B-Ards.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder if like Facebook is gonna like shadow ban that post.
It'd be funny. Anyway, up
would
next.
Would we notice?
No. Yeah, up next, Wild Bastards, developed by Blue Manchu, published by Maximum Entertainment, released September 12th on Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Spiritual successor to the award-winning game Void Bastards, Wild Bastards is a roguelike strategy shooter with heart-pounding first-person shooter action, mod management, and a tactical campaign. Saddle up and lead the most notorious outlaws in the galaxy. Jacob, what is Wild Bastards?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know what I was really getting in for. There is a lot to this game, so, and there's a lot to explain with it too. Here I am thinking like it's just gonna be like a first person shooter, maybe there's gonna be some squad mechanics. No, it is, well, wild, like, you know. Well,
tell us about it. What's bizarre. Going on in the game?
So it is a roguelike first person shooter game that also has like this overarching story going on. It's a sci-fi western, and these gun hands, it's, they're not bad guys, but they're not necessarily good guys either. Anyway, they're on the run from this other gang, and their ship gets blown up. And they think all is lost, and it's their old ship that they used to have has suddenly come back. They beam them up, and now they're on a mission to go resurrect all of their other gang members who had died early in previous missions. They're going to resurrect them all, bring them back onto the crew, and get back to work, and hopefully take down the bad guys. And there is a lot, unexpectedly, there's a lot going on with this thing. And in the story, one of the neat dynamics is that you there could be tension between crew members, and there are a lot of crew members, but like there could be tension between them, and it will actually affect how certain levels will play out, because if there is like any kind of negative tension between them, they won't work together at all. And so you'll have to like pick somebody else for to go down on a planet with them. And yeah, so going back to the tactical thing, when you beam down to a planet, you're presented with a map and you get to decide where you're going to move around on this map. And if you have enemies to fight on that piece of map, then you go into this first person mode, where you just have to, like, it's an arena shooter. You like just have to run around and shoot them. Most of your enemies will either, you have to spot them via sound on your map. And so most of the time you're going to figure out their location because they'll like start yelling stuff to like their, you know, their friends, or like you'll just accidentally hear them in passing conversation. Then you can open up fire on them. And yeah, you also have this like super move called Juiced. You just have to pick up these like potions all around the map, and everybody has like their own crazy ability. My favorite was the casino bot's shotgun, which would just like kill everyone that was on screen at the time.
Nice.
So yeah, and then you also have to manage the mods that get installed with all your teammates, and as you pick them up on all the various maps that you're on, you can apply them, but once you warp to a new system, you lose them all. And so every single system, you're starting fresh. Everyone has full HP. Like, you know, everybody has no mods, and so you have to pick them up as you go along. And yeah, it's just, this is a surprisingly complicated, I don't know if I want to say complicated, because I mean, it's not like it's confusing. It's just, there's a lot to it.
And there's a lot more like tactical combat and strategy involved instead of just running.
Yeah.
Gun, correct.
Yeah. Although I'm not going to lie, I had to move it down to the easy mode. Normal was just like, that was like a nightmare to try to get through. And so I did, I fully admit I had to. I wish that there was something in between easy and normal, but there isn't. And like the later ones where it's like the super Iron Man difficulty, I'm just like, ugh, fuck that shit. I'm never going to get that achievement. So yeah. But other than
what goes on with like the building and maintaining the relationships in the game? How does that work?
It happens through the conversations that you have, and like who you resurrected, stuff like that, and getting missions done. So like it's an interesting relationship system. It definitely keeps you on your toes.
Right. Well, any other thoughts on it?
Not really. It's a surprisingly deep shooter game. Like I really enjoyed it.
How's the music in the game? Because the visuals look awesome. It's got like a cool like cel shaded style visual look to it.
I'm not going to lie, I don't really remember the music to it. And
is there voice acting? Are the characters voice?
Oh, yeah. There's voice acting. But, yeah, because of how much of that, like, shooter part, like, you know, when you're doing the arena shooter stuff, how much of that is, like, you're listening for your opponent and stuff like that. Like, so it's just, I don't even recall music being there. Which, I mean, for the composer, I'm sorry if there is one. I assume there's one. Sorry, guy. I was too busy shooting people to notice your music.
All right. Well, the game clocks in at $40. Give us your thoughts on Wild Bastards.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Any final thoughts on that one? I want to give this one a go. It looks awesome.
Yeah, as I said, I recommend it, man.
I was wrong on the price. It's $34.99 on Xbox. What are your thoughts on that?
I would have paid $40.
So Horror Acolyte is asking, what types of enemies do you fight?
So you have different types of enemies, and pretty much like what they equal to is robots, like aliens and critters, and they're actually called critters. And all of them have some sort of like special effect that they can have on you. Like the critters, like some of them will shoot, poison at you. Other ones will like do this kind of like green glob goo. I don't know how to explain it, but critters can be pretty damn annoying because I mean they act like animals, and so they're far less predictable than humans. And yeah, it's a lot of like Wild West looking characters, but they're robots, or so they look different.
You're a robot.
That's fair.
Burn.
But yeah, there's like 50 or so different enemies in there. And there's like a little guide that you could build on that tactical map thing. There's a guide that you can build up and it'll have like all the different entries and stuff.
Cool. All right. So yeah, sounds like a good one. All right.
Yeah.
Next game, Caravan Sandwich, developed by Studio Plain Toast, published by Dear Villagers, released September 12th on Switch, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Embark on a journey across vast landscapes in Caravan Sandwich, a captivating narrative-driven exploration adventure. Aki, what is Caravan Sandwich?
Okay, this is an exploration game. Who would have thought, right? You play as a young girl, and she's living out in space right now. And she gets an SOS from an automated SOS from her sister's spacecraft. Problem being, her sister went missing 9 years ago on their home planet. So now she goes back to the home planet to try and find her. And along the way, she meets at least some of the people she used to live with, because most of them have either, you know, died or moved away because it's a little sandball with nothing really on it. And now there's no jobs because the big planet-breaking company that was stealing all the resources has left. So this is you get to see a whole bunch of really old structures that, you know, have been basically lost to the environment in time for since before you were born. And the whole thing is you interact with the small community that still lives there, and you do little side quests for them, all while trying to find enough parts and components to upgrade your brand new kick-ass van that you require in order to travel around the little bit of the planet you get to travel around. And yeah, some of the upgrades for it are, oh, here's, you know, the ability to scan for jammers, which have been spread around the place, so no one can contact each other anymore, to a grappling hook that's used to allow you to zip line across things, or even power electronics and the like. That is a majority of like what you're doing throughout the whole thing. You're exploring to find more parts so that you can get the next upgrade for your vehicle, or to find whatever items that people have requested you to find, so they'll give you more components so you can build the parts. It is a pretty straightforward linear game. It does have a big open world that you can travel and traipse around in, but the story is very linear. You get these parts, unlock the next upgrade, then you can access more stuff, so you can upgrade to the next thing, so on and so forth, until the end of the game. Basically, every upgrade you get, for the most part, ends up costing you a handful of days. It'll get rid of any side quests that you haven't finished already, because those people have moved on to do something else. So you just lose out of whatever they were doing if you haven't completed it. But it also puts time on your timer for how long it's been since you first got the SOS, meaning, you know, the more days it takes, the more likely you may not find your sister. And yeah, it's a pretty fun game. The exploration is really fun. You get to dig stuff up. You've find parts laying around from where they've fallen from places, or parts of walls have fallen down. You can get into buildings and so on and so forth. It doesn't only include human characters. There's also this race of frog-like people that are native to this planet, as well as robots that have become sentient, which the big corporation that left here kind of doesn't want to exist. So you get to help all of these individuals with what they want. I thought it was really fun because the exploration is really fun. You're not just walking around, you're climbing and jumping around all over the place. And you can go and search for things, and the side quests can be really fun. There was one for finding some of the children for the frog people, and each one of them required specific items in order to get them to go back to the cave. And you had to search around the entire map to find those items. And it took me a while, but I finally figured out how to do it, because I found a couple of them by luck. And I'm like, I don't understand how to find the rest of these. And then I figured it out, and it was really fun, because there was a special mode on your vehicle where you could actually follow tracks to find them. And that's, like, the majority of the game right there is just finding components, getting upgrades, figuring out how those upgrades work so you can finish side quests so you can get to the end of the game. There's no combat or anything in this, so it's a pretty simple, laid-back game.
Cool. Sounds like you had a good time with it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this game. I stopped near the end because one of the achievements seemed to be broken, and I wanted to get it before I went to the point of no return. Hopefully they've fixed it. There's been a few updates, but I've been too busy to go back to this, but I am at the last mission currently.
Gotcha. Well, the game clocks in at $25. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm 100% for this game. I thought it was really fun.
Cool. All right. Next up, Arrow the Acrobat 2, developed by Shinyadin and Sunsoft, published by Rattleika Games, released September 6th on the Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $5.99. This is a long intro. After managing to stop Edgar Ector's mad plans to destroy the world of amusement, Arrow decides to investigate the Madman's Museum of Horror. There he finds a strange floating magician's box. When he gets inside to investigate it, he's suddenly transported to a mysterious place. However, unbeknownst to Arrow, Edgar himself has managed to survive after being rescued by his minion Zero, and has asked him to execute the Plan B. What could this mysterious plan be? Arrow will need to escape the mysterious place he's trapped in if he wants to stop Edgar Ector's new plan. Jacob, what is going on in Arrow the Acrobat 2?
You know, I was really surprised that this game took such an anti-abortion stance.
Jesus Christ.
Making Arrow have to fight against Plan B. The 90s were so divided. What is, who knew?
What is wrong with you? Oh, my Lord.
All right. So, in all reality, Arrow the Acrobat continues the adventures of our favorite acrobat. Ha ha. Who's also a bat. And unlike the first game, this one's a lot more straightforward. Each of the levels in the first game, like, there was some sort of objective that you had to complete, and it wasn't always just like get from point A to point B. Like, sometimes it was like you have to grab 10 coins, or you have to like stand on 6 platforms and make them disappear, stuff like that. This one is very much more point A to point B, but when it does that, it it's kind of weird because, all right, so the first one was very circus based, and so all of that kind of stuff made sense. And while it wasn't a look that I really liked, it, you know, it, like, the setting and like how everything looked, it all made sense. This one, it's just you going, like, going after Ector from place to place, and there's just a bunch of random clowns thrown in. Like, so, okay, well, we kind of keep the circus theme going. Not really. But the levels do look a lot nicer. My favorite one was the disco one. The background visuals on that were, like, the standard, like, mid-90s, like, wavy Super Nintendo graphics that you would see all the time. Like, kind of like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would get lost in the visuals sometimes. But the plot line's really not there. It's explained in these scenes that are just, like, really just frames with dialogue on them. They're like, there's no, like, real animation to it. And it just becomes, like, a more streamlined platformer compared to the first one. And as much, it's just, like, as much as, like, I was not a fan of how open world, like, you know, how open those, like, levels were in that first game, it was different and it was distinctive. And this one just, it's not bad, but, like, it just causes Arrow to just kind of, like, this is why he got lost in, like, you know, all those, like, 90s, like, platformer animal mascot, you know, kind of looking guys. Like, you know,
just got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, it, you know, like, he just becomes more generic as, like, in this game. And it was just, it played better. Like, and I do appreciate, like, how linear the levels were, but it, at the same time, like, it just felt like more of the same, you know?
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed by it. I mean, like, I had fun playing it. And, like, one of the things I do appreciate is that I didn't get lost as much in this game as I did on the first one.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's just like, it's okay.
Well, it's $5.99. What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely recommend it for $5.99. One of the nice things with this game, oh shoot, that's something I wanted to discuss. Sorry, I have to go back on something. Also, another difference between this game and the previous one is that there's now a slide movement. So, like, you can get under certain things. The game never takes time to tell you this or how to explain it. And so you actually have to look at the manual that's included with the game to know about this slide thing. Otherwise, there's levels and secret areas that you're never going to find and progress to. And so just like it's one of those, like, frustrating game design things, because, like, what if you pick this up from a rental place? Like, you could literally get stuck on the first level if you didn't know about the slide move, because the game never tries. It's down and I think it's down and B.
If you couldn't figure that out on your own, I'm sorry, you're a lost cause.
Well, that's rude. I'm a lost cause because I actually had to look it up in the manual.
That's like straight out of Mega Man playbook. Down B, it's the slide.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting. Yeah, but the thing is that I wasn't expecting it because the first game didn't have this. So,
neither did Mega Man 1, but Mega Man 3 had it.
Yeah, but Mega Man 3 also taught you how to use it.
When?
Hard Man's level.
When did it have a button prompt that tells you down B?
Whatever.
It didn't. No. You figured it out because it was an NES game and it was simple.
You're simple.
I am. The game's $6. Give us a verdict.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. Like, I encourage retro releases like this all the time, especially when they're reasonably priced. And Arrow is a character that if you've read a lot of mid-90s comics, you'll remember, like, seeing ads for him in a lot of them. And so it's just like, I enjoy this, like, kind of cultural history being preserved, even if they're not as great as, like, you know, some of the other titles that were out there at the time.
All right. Well, we've got one final game to talk about tonight that is called DateZ, developed by Mass Creation, published by We Dig Games, released August 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $14.99. Three DLC packs are available for $4.99 each or $11.99 for the three pack. Welcome to the heart racing adventure of DateZ, an unexpected twist on high school drama, mystery, and romance. As a senior transfer student, your debut week at a new school spirals into an extraordinary race against time. It's not just about making friends or acting or acing classes. Your survival hinges on one task, finding a date by Friday. Aki, did you find a date?
No, no, not yet.
You're dead right now?
Yeah, many times over.
Shit. Jacob, we're going to have to do the show without Aki now.
Why?
She's dead. Didn't you hear her?
No, I mean, she sounds very much alive.
Well, that's because I'm amazing.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Duh. No, you're not amazing.
She's a ghost. Ghosts talk. Duh.
I've seen Casper. Ghost. Yeah, I've seen Casper too. Casper was more hardcore than Aki will ever be.
True. So, Aki, what is DateZ?
How dare you? But... In this play, you play as nondescript transfer student boy, and you immediately wake up one day, and then it skips to later that week where you get eaten by a zombie, because fuck you, that's why. And then time gets rewound by someone who isn't you. And you don't remember anything. The player does, but the character does not. And now it is up to you, the player, to keep this schmuck alive by getting him into the pants of one of four girls he met on his first day, or a mysterious fifth girl that I've not been able to really interact with much in my game so far. The sad part of this is that this game was originally sold to be, oh yeah, you get to date five girls, and then three of them were the DLCs that you have to pay more for. Yeah, so lots of people were not happy about that, reasonably so. So the girls that you get access to are the hidden fifth girl that I haven't been able to interact with, and Penny, which is a homely, ditzy girl who has the IQ of a turnip, maybe. The DLC girls are Vivi, who is the I-know-everything Hermione of the group. Bao, who is a news reporter for the school news, who dresses a lot like the evil magician guy from The Princess and the Frog. She does. You can go look. She looks dead up dressed like him. It is weird. And then the last one, which is one of my favorites, and yet for some reason I cannot think of her name. I know it starts with an A, and that's as far as I remember that. Who is the punk bodybuilder type. So nice, strong, very athletic, and very angry all the time.
Dummy mommy?
Yeah, basically. hey, I can like Alicia. A dummy mommy too.
Alicia?
Yes, that's what it is. And those are the girls that you get to choose from. Obviously, the latter three are from the DLCs. You do get to meet all five of them, even if you don't have the DLC. But you get to meet them in, like, the intro area where you're dealing with multiple people. You don't get to actually romance them or anything. Their scenarios are added in each of their individual DLCs, or if you buy the complete pack, that. Basically throughout this, after you die the first time, which is scripted, you don't get a choice... you get the ability to start rewinding time. So Cher would be very happy with this.
I got that.
Good, I'm glad.
If I could turn back time.
Holy crap, I need... If I could find a word.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. So yeah, you get to rewind time to any of the prior major events of the day, and that's usually like for day for the beginning, it's waking up, and then for basically each one of your classes and the breaks in between some of your classes, you get to rewind to those. And as long as you haven't finished a scene, if you don't like how it's turning out, you can rewind to the beginning of that scene or any part within it. Because in almost every scene, there's a handful of choices you can make, which can give you some romance points towards one of the girls, or it can even increase investigative points with one of the girls. And I don't actually know what those points do. I assume that is how you maybe survive, but I'm not entirely sure. Because they haven't done anything for me yet other than increase. So it's like, hopefully this means something good. After you have gone through chunks of this, you can actually rewind time back to that section completely. As I was saying, to any of the major points. And if you do that, you can actually see the choice you made, whether it increased their love or it was just a talking point or if it gave you some investigation points. So you can slowly fill out all of the options and figure out what pathway you want to take through the conversation a little more easily. I have found that these aren't completely useful because some of them aren't right. However, there is one super useful reason for doing that. Some choices also decrease the girl's likes of you, so it is good to know where those are so you don't choose that shit again, because that always ends badly. But, for instance, there was a couple talking points that I found that also increased how much the girl liked me, and one of them increased how much she liked me more than the heart option did. So, not super useful. It would be nice if they changed it to where it told you how many hearts you would get if you had chosen that before. Just so you can more easily figure it out, because sometimes multiple choices within a line will give you hearts, but they'll give you a varying amount of love points. So, it would be nice if it actually told you that after you've chosen it the first time, just so you'd be like, that one gives you 2, but this one gives you 4. I'm going this route because I want her. That way you don't sit and do what I do and constantly rewind time over and over and over and over until you're like, okay, this is the best route now to get the most out of this conversation, like an idiot. I have spent way too much time doing that.
Being an idiot? Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that too. You get a week to go through this. You start on a Monday, you get until Friday. So, have fun. You're the new transfer student. Why do you get
until Friday?
Because that is when the zombie apocalypse happens, and if you haven't found somebody who wants to take you, I guess, into a private room and smash your brains out, then, you know,
you die otherwise, I guess. Smash your brains out. Jeez.
Yeah, they either smash your brains out or they take you to a room and smash your brains out. So you only have that week. It's fun. All the characters are, you know, they all have their tropes. The news reporter girl is a little weird, is an understatement. And is obsessed with reporting, and that is basically most of her personality right there. The punk girl has a punk attitude. She doesn't care, you know, about teachers as much. She'll listen to authoritative ones that are, like, helping her do what she wants to do, but otherwise she's like, I don't fucking care. You know, she's the type who will grab a chair and bash a person in the fucking head you know, they're all very tropey for what they are. The smart girl is stupid, smart, and shy because she's the nerd. You know, it's all very basic. So, and it's basic for a good reason. Those are the tropes people fucking like. So you will find one of these girls to be your type. So, yeah. That's really all there is to say about it.
All right, well, what are your thoughts on the pricing with this game? It's a $15 game. They have the three DLC packs for $5 each, or 12 for the three pack. There's not a bundle with everything for sale, which I wish there was.
Yeah, I don't understand why there isn't, but if this game at all seems interesting to you, you kind of have to buy the complete romance pack or whatever the hell it's called, because that's where most of the girls are. Even though they should be in the game already, they aren't. So I've enjoyed the game, but at the same time, I also think it's kind of bullshit that they separated those three characters from the game when they were originally supposed to be part of the game. However, for the $30, it's still not a bad game. I don't know if you'll spend that long playing it, 30 hours playing it, but I enjoyed my time with it. I like the characters and how they interact. So I'm for it.
All right. Well, that's it for the show, I guess. We're done. Bye.
Woo! Yay! No.
That is it for the show. We made it through.
Damn, this was fast.
But at what cost?
Everything. It cost us everything. No, it just cost us $6.99, but we don't get a disc drive.
Oh, well.
Music this episode. I'm going to play some Steel Samurai because I played it last episode and Steel Samurai is awesome. So I'm going to play more of it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You going to fight me about that or what?
Yes.
Nah, I'd rather make love, not war.
Ooh.
SML after dark.
Yeah, buddy.
You better get your balls ready.
Oh, they're ready.
Thanks to you two for being here. Thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing. Going on to sail some ships. Jacob, I found your head. It's
right up his ass!
Nice.
Yeah.
I was looking for it.
Yes.
Right in his asshole.
I'm going to need you to fuck off, sir.
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Yay! Yay! Yay!
Come on, Aki.
I was the first one who did it, bitch.
Say it.
Yay!
No, say it.
Yay!
Fuck off. I can't believe you talked me into that.
Yeah, well, if you could turn back time.